Here's your money briefing for Friday, June 18th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. People with student loans whose finances were hit by the pandemic haven't had to make monthly payments since March of last year. But that payment suspension put in place by the government is set to expire in just a few months.
If you haven't been paying all these months, you may actually not really know what you owe anymore. So the first thing you're really going to want to do is know what your payments are.
WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur Monk has been our go-to resource for student loan matters throughout the pandemic. Coming up, she'll discuss some options to lessen the impact on your bottom line before you resume your monthly payments. That's after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
The end of the student loan repayment suspension is near, and for many borrowers, that means having to work monthly loan payments back into their budget. But not everyone is back on solid financial footing. WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur Monk has been looking into ways that borrowers can resume payments that won't break their bank account. And she's with us now. Cheryl, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So Cheryl, before we get into repayment strategies, we should note that even though the student loan forbearance period is currently scheduled to end on September 30th, it's been extended several times before. Are you hearing anything about another extension?
So we haven't heard anything definitive yet, but just recently, the Secretary of Education suggested that there are continuing conversations about possibly extending the pause. So we're really not sure where this is going to go, but stay tuned.
Okay, so assuming that September 30th date is going to hold, what's the first thing financial experts say that people should do to put themselves in position to resume making payments?
Well, if you haven't been paying all these months, you may actually not really know what you owe anymore. So the first thing you're really going to want to do is know what your payments are. You can easily find that by logging in to the Federal Student Aid website at studentaid.gov if you have federal loans. For private loans, you're going to have to go to your servicer, your private lender or servicer for that. But for federal loans, you're going to go to studentaid.gov and you'll use the same login credentials that you used when you filled out your FAFSA, which is the free application for federal student aid, and you'll be able to see all your data and who your federal servicer is.
Now, how about recent grads? Does that go for them too? Will they have to begin making payments on September 30th?
Many recent grads will start having to make regular payments in November or December. So they really want to know how much they've borrowed so they can budget appropriately. And the reason to do it now is so that they're not, like, all of a sudden they get to November or December when the payment is due and all of a sudden they're like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know I owed this and how am I going to handle this? So just to get ahead on this is a really important budgeting tool.
Now, for people who have had loans for a long time, in many cases, their personal finances still aren't back to where they were at the start of the pandemic when repayment was suspended. So how can people strategize their repayments to, you know, maybe lessen the impact?
Federal loan borrowers can use the federal government's loan simulator tool, and that's also available at studentaid.gov, and that will help them estimate what their payments will be under different plans, different repayment options. So it may be that the repayment option they were on before isn't as applicable now. For example, if their income went way down or if they lost their job, the income-driven repayment program may be right for them. So if you're just starting out, like you know you're going to have to start making payments because you're a recent grad, or if you're thinking about changing your plan, you really have to think about what your strategy is. Do you want to lower your payments as much as possible, or do you want to pay as little as possible overall? And that's going to impact which plan you choose.
And just to clarify, do private loan borrowers have an income-driven repayment option?
Most do not. However, I've come across at least one, the Rhode Island Student Loan Authority, that does offer income-driven repayment, but most private lenders do not offer income-driven repayment.
Now let's talk about interest rates on student loans. They can be pretty high, especially if a loan was taken out several years ago. So what are some options that federal loan borrowers have to reduce their interest rate?
There are options you may have. For example, you could refinance with a private lender. There are downsides, of course, to doing this, but if you have, especially if you're a person with very good credit, you may be able to refinance a federal loan with a private lender for a lower rate. But there are some drawbacks to be aware of. You'll lose access to the federal perks, such as income-driven repayment, and if you qualify, public service loan forgiveness and teacher loan forgiveness for those who qualify. So you really want to make sure that you're aware of what you're potentially giving up before you refinance with a private lender. The other thing to consider is how long you have left on the loan. So for example, if you have a year or two left on a federal loan, it's probably not going to make sense to refinance it with a private lender.
Okay, but what about borrowers who already have a loan with a private lender? Could they get their interest rate adjusted?
Absolutely. If you think there's a possibility, especially with rates have been being so low, it's always worth calling and checking out to see if the lender will offer you a better deal than you have now. You can look at other lenders as well. And aside from the fact that you'll have to do some work to actually refinance with and sign up with another lender, there's no fees involved in refinancing.
Now, you mentioned forgiveness a minute ago. We keep hearing about the idea of federal student loan forgiveness being floated in Washington. Any news on that?
Nothing with respect to widespread forgiveness, which has been talked about, either the 10,000 figure that's been floated or the 50,000 figure that's been floated. But some borrowers have found some relief. For example, earlier this week, the Education Department approved another $500 million in loan forgiveness requests from former ITT Technical Institute students who said their former school, which is now defunct, swindled them. And so this was about 18,000, or this was 18,000 former students. They're getting their loans forgiven. But this is not the widespread program that people are talking about and hoping is going to come down the pike.
All right, that's WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.